prophet Hosea says, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord." Return. This morning I want to talk about how we return to the Lord in our guilt. God has blessed us in the church by giving us the sacrament of reconciliation, most especially as the way to return to the Lord in our guilt after our baptism. We know God forgives sins in many ways, but this is an efficacious sign. It's a sign and a sacrament with power. It's one reason why we're renovating our confessionals, is to make them places that really raise up to the dignity and the nobility of what happens there. That God cleanses a soul from all sin once again by his divine power. We want people to walk by those confessionals, even if they don't go in, and notice and say, wow, something special must happen in there. So hopefully we'll be done by the next century for our confessional over here, but they're working on it. But this morning, just a couple points about the sacrament of reconciliation and how to celebrate, how to return. So first of all, we remember that we're taught by the church that there are three acts of the penitent and one act of the priest. The acts of the penitent are contrition, confession, and satisfaction. Even before going to confession, we should strive to be contrite. We want to ask God for the gift of true sorrow for our sins, that we should call to mind and remember, where have I gone astray? Where have I not loved the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength? Where have I offended my neighbor or hurt myself? Contrition can be perfect, meaning I'm sorry only because God is worthy of all praise, and I want to love him with all that I am. That's perfect contrition. But imperfect contrition still works to be forgiven. Imperfect contrition is fear of punishment, fear of hell. I wish my life was better and more on track than it is. Still a good thing, even though it's not at the level of perfect contrition. But we want to stir up that true sorrow in our hearts even before we go to celebrate the sacrament. And we want to review our lives through the lens of God's mercy. Confession, of course, is the verbal acknowledgement of one's sins. It was popular for a while in the U.S. to go to confession and to just kind of say, it's been about a month since my last confession, and then just to mentally think of one's sins. The priest wouldn't hear anything said, and then when you were done, you would just say, okay, I think I've offered that to God, and the priest would absolve you. That was an error. It was a mistake. One's verbal confession is a key part of the acts of the penitent. It also used to be popular to just say one sin, kind of like, we don't have time for all this, but just say one of your sins, God will get all the rest. That was also an error. We want to confess all of our mortal sins, definitely, and then the venial sins we can remember. We know it's not possible to hit every single thing, we're human, but to make an integral confession is important. That's the second act of the penitent. And then thirdly, satisfaction. This is one's penance that one does. Even if one doesn't do their penance or doesn't do it correctly, it doesn't invalidate the forgiveness of God. But it's a key part of returning to God because we want to mend and heal our relationship with God. And God wants us to cooperate with him in that. But just so you know, it doesn't mean that if you forget your penance or you don't do it properly, it doesn't mean that you're not forgiven. It's as long as you're intending to, you initially intended to do that. So contrition, confession, satisfaction. The act of the priest is simply absolution. The prayer of absolution that he says, the key words are, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is the essential language, just like I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is what's essential for baptism. All the other things in baptism are wonderful and beautiful. They give grace, but you're still baptized if that's all the priest does. So just so you know that. The seal of the confessional is still absolute. There are no exceptions to it. You may not know that it's possible for you to have someone else in the confessional with you for a good reason. They are also sworn to that perpetual seal. This happens like when people don't speak the language of the country. They can actually have a translator with them, hopefully someone they either trust really well or a total stranger. But that person is also under the seal of the confessional, just like the priest is. It's very typical to say the act of contrition in the confessional as a way of kind of manifesting that act of the penitent to be contrite. And so many of us have learned the act of contrition as children, which, oh my God, I am heartily sorry for all my sins. And that's a very beautiful prayer. Of course, as kids, we were like, am I heartily sorry or am I hardly sorry? Always kind of a tricky one, even to this day. What do you exactly say there? No, but that act of contrition is beautiful. We have one written down in the confessionals that people can use in case they forget or it's been a while. But just know that you can also use any act of contrition you want. Many people make up a different one on the spot every time. And even an act of contrition as simple as, Jesus, I'm sorry. That's a good prayer. That counts. So if you're ever at a loss for words, and as people age, sometimes they get really upset. They can't remember the act of contrition. Don't get upset. All you have to do is just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. That's a beautiful act of contrition. That works. And also, in the confessional, sometimes people say, I don't know it in English. Can I pray it in my native tongue? Of course. And so I've had people pray the act of contrition in all kinds of languages with me. It's a really beautiful part of my ministry to see that just universal church where people grow up manifested in this particular place, in this particular church. The good news, friends, is that God gives us a sacrament to forgive our sins and also to strengthen us. Some people might say, well, I don't commit any mortal sins anymore. I go to Mass a lot, and you know, what's it matter if I haven't been to confession in, 3, 5, 10 years? Well, every sacrament gives a particular grace of holiness. And so besides forgiving our sins, the sacrament of reconciliation strengthens us to love. It empowers us to love more, love God, love our neighbor, love ourselves. And that's what salvation is all about. Salvation is living a life. It's living a life of joy, a life of love. It's not just I'm free from this, but I'm stepping into this. I'm not just free from Pharaoh, I'm stepping into the promised land. And the sacraments all give us the power to love as we should in that promised land of heaven here on earth. We have our reconciliation service on March 20th this month. I pray all of you can be able to attend and receive that sacrament if you haven't already this Lenten season. But let's talk that up. Let's talk up God's mercy. Let's help others to, let's try to lower their fears about going to the sacrament of reconciliation. And let's all rejoice that God has loved us so much that even after our baptism, when we sin, He can forgive everything.